Hello everyone, happy Friday morning, or whatever day of the week you might be listening to us on. This is Cinema Gibberish. I am your host, Chris Collars, as always, and I am joined once again by Josh Dayton.
That's me.
So how you been, Josh? It's been about a week since we last talked about a movie, or just, you know, hung out.
Oh, I'm alright. What about you?
I'm sure just like you, busy, but very busy.
That is true.
And since we've last talked, a lot of movie news has broken out. I haven't said particularly to you what movie news we would talk about, but we got like three big things to sort of talk about really quick before we jump into our review. So first off, last week, if you remember, Josh, we talked about Wonder Woman 84 going straight to HBO Max the same day it hits theaters on Christmas. And I'm sure you've heard this. It's been a big story. But since then, Warner Brothers, the people who own HBO Max, have since announced that every movie that they have coming out next year, all 17 of them, will also be coming to HBO Max the day of release in theaters. And it'll be there for about a month before they get taken off for like two more months in theaters before, you know, they're back on HBO Max. So Josh, did you hear about this prior to me just bringing it up? And if you have, what are your thoughts? Are you against it? Are you for it?
I'm not sure that I'm for it or against it. It's just kind of a thing that they've decided to do.
I know there's a lot of uproar from people within, like, Warner Brothers, like the sub, you know, producing companies that help make some of those movies that are being now straight released to HBO Max. Like, I know the people behind Dune and Godzilla vs. Kong, they're all up in arms about it. Christopher Nolan even came out and said...
Yeah, he's not too happy.
No, he said something along the lines of... these actors and directors have signed up to make something that was going to be put in theaters. They didn't sign up to work for a streaming service. Oof. And then there's something that I didn't even know about. It's called like the Directors Guild of like...
But you didn't know about the Directors Guild?
I didn't know about the Directors Guild. But apparently they had just written Warner Brothers a strongly worded letter about, you know, the whole situation, because they're upset about it as well. And my two thoughts are, I'm excited at the prospect of it, but I clearly understand why it's a big problem for a lot of people in studios and such. It's a very it cuts out middlemen, and it like dooms movie theaters basically.
I feel this course of action could very well be a slippery slope that I'm not a fan of, but there's no way to know.
Because they came out with an official press release about it, and they said that, you know, they love the movie theaters and stuff, and this is just like a unique one-year plan that they have. But, I mean, they're going to make a lot of money off of this if they, like...
I was going to say, it's a unique one-year plan until they make a ton of money off it, and then they're like, we're going to do this forever.
Yeah, and then other people, other studios that have streaming services will do the same. Maybe. And, I mean... I hope that doesn't happen, because I really, really enjoy movie theaters. As expensive as it can be sometimes, I still believe that movie theaters still need to be a thing for movies in Hollywood. Otherwise, I think Hollywood would fall apart if this whole streaming thing goes through.
Yeah.
So, on to our next sort of story, I guess. It has to do with another company that has a streaming service, Disney. So tomorrow, we're recording this on Wednesday, so we don't know if any news will break out, but tomorrow Disney is having this big, junket thing for their, like, stockholders, but basically they've said that this is basically, like, a big event for, like, you know, announcements and stuff.
Yes.
And one of the big things that they've, sort of been rumored is that we're gonna get the Phase 5, slate revealed tomorrow.
See, those are not the rumors I've heard.
What have you heard?
I've been watching a lot of the Star Wars things.
There's also going to be Star Wars stuff too, but yeah.
That may come out of this. I haven't seen anything rumoring MCU stuff.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. There. So, what Star Wars stuff did you hear rumored about?
All the stuff that's been talked about recently, which is a potential sequel series to Rebels. Another thing that I'm not sure I want to openly say because it could potentially spoil other areas of Star Wars that are currently happening. But there are exciting things.
Right, right. There will, like, the spinoff shows of about different characters, basically.
Correct.
Yes, yes, I know what you're talking about. So, but yeah, so there's also there was rumors about Marvel because they're revealing Marvel stuff, Disney stuff, or Disney stuff, and like there's a live action Pinocchio with Tom Hanks as Geppetto.
Which I hate that so much.
Interesting.
I didn't know that was a thing, and you've kind of put a damper on my day.
What?
the only thing I really need Marvel to announce is give me a trailer for Falcon and Winter Soldier, please. It has been so long. We have one for WandaVision, which was supposed to come out afterwards. please show me Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I'm very excited. I feel like we're, because they've been releasing more WandaVision posters, so I feel like we're going to get another trailer tomorrow, since they've been like systematically releasing a poster every day for WandaVision. So, but I really hope we also get that Falcon Winter Soldier trailer, because, you know, it's been a long time since we've heard anything about the show.
Yeah, I need something.
Like last time I heard, they were like, oh,
look awesome.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. But I want to ask, do you have any theories, or is there anything you wish to see out of a Phase 5, you know, announcement slate?
I'm not sure I can even think about Phase 5. Is your final thing all of the Spider-Man talk?
It might be.
Because that's why I can't think about Phase 5.
No, yeah, that's our big story we'll get into here next. But I just want to say, I really hope we get a Fantastic Four / X-Men announcement from Phase 5.
I'm not worried about it. I think that they could still wait a little bit on that, and I'd be perfectly okay with it.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with it, because we still haven't gotten anything from Phase 4, so even though...
I mean, I don't care if it's another 5 to 7 years before we even get an announcement of another X-Men. I'm perfectly okay with X-Men taking a break.
No, yeah, I agree. I want them to do at least do Fantastic Four and Phase 5, and then we can probably wait till Phase 6 to X-Men, but I definitely want like a John Krasinski-led Fantastic Four movie sometime soon, because the Fantastic Four really, really need at least one good movie up their sleeve.
That is very true.
But yes, Josh, as you said earlier, our next story, which kind of deals with Disney, but I doubt we'll hear anything about this movie.
No, it only barely deals with Disney. This is very much
Sony. Yes.
Yeah.
But where to start? So this is a developing story as of today. Like, this thing just keeps getting bigger and crazier every day. So
because we've been hearing various rumors about things, but now we're hearing even more crazy rumors.
Like signing. Okay, so let me start from the beginning. So Spider-Man 3. As soon as we saw Spider-Man Far From Home ending, we saw J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson. Right? Cool. That's a neat little Easter egg that we brought over another actor to play the same character. That's cool. And then, you know, I think it was about a month ago, we heard a report, or I think it was confirmed by Jamie Foxx that he was returning as Electro, and he said...
Is it a mistake?
I don't know, man. I'm excited for him to get, like, a redemption of sorts, him playing Electro.
Well, honestly, here's your problem. You're looking at it as if it could be a redemption, which it very well could be. But I feel... Here's the thing. There's all of the multiverse rumors about this movie, all the other Spider-Man people showing up, because now we have Garfield characters rumored and confirmed, and Maguire characters. Right? It's ambitious. And it could be one of the greatest things of all time. But at the same time, I'm not any less nervous about it.
So basically, Electro was confirmed by Jamie Foxx about a month ago that he would be in Spider-Man 3, but he wouldn't be blue, according to Jamie Foxx. And then, you know, we hadn't really heard anything. We obviously had a bunch of the rumors that, you know, we'd have, you know, a lot more Spider-Man showing up and stuff. And then yesterday morning, we got confirmation that Alfred Molina, Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2, would be returning as Dr. Octopus.
In my opinion, the greatest, one of the greatest portrayals of a Spider-Man villain in live action of all time.
Yeah, he's insanely good. So I'm very excited they picked him. And then later in the day yesterday, we also got some, I don't know if it's confirmation, but we got like from like big sources that said Tobey Maguire is coming back, Andrew Garfield is coming back, Emma Stone is coming back, and Kirsten Dunst is coming back. You know, all the Spider-Man and their love interests are coming back. And then Josh, I don't know if you've heard even more news of what of today. Did you hear about the new thing for today?
I might have. Go ahead and say it.
Okay, so today is a heavy rumor, and again, more bigger sources are reporting this, that Charlie Cox as Daredevil is set to reprise his role in this.
Which I think would be one of the best decisions they could possibly make.
It is. It's insanely. So with all that being said, Josh, after hearing all these rumors of all these huge casting announcements, what are your thoughts? And like, how do you think Spider-Man 3 could turn out with all this stuff going on?
Like I said, I think it has the potential to be fantastic, but it also definitely has the potential to just fall flat.
Yes, so I also, I'm very excited to see how this turns out because, one, I'm a fan of each and every casting announcement they've come out with. But I also hope that they remember that this is Tom Holland's Spider-Man 3, and that we focus on that and the fact that
there's a lot to juggle with all of these additions.
There is, and here's the thing. We know that Marvel Studios is really good at juggling, but Sony
is not good at
juggling.
And we have seen it firsthand what happens when Sony tries to juggle.
More than once, mind you.
Yes, we have lots of examples of Sony making mistakes with big plays like this.
I'm also very curious because out of all the casting rumors that we've had, three of them involve characters that have already died in their movies that they have been in. So I'm very curious to see how they do that. And by this point, I'm not convinced that these are just, you know, like, this isn't just Electro in Tom Holland's universe, or this is just Doc Ock in Tom Holland's universe. They just happen to look the same. After, like, all the rumors and stuff, I'm thoroughly convinced these are the villains from Tobey Maguire's universe and Andrew Garfield's universe. And there's no doubt in my mind that this is Gwen Stacy from Andrew Garfield's universe. And I'm very curious. Also, the thing about Daredevil, I hope that he honestly just has a cameo. As much as I love him, I hope he has a cameo. Oh, and I completely forgot. They added Doctor Strange to this movie too, Josh.
Yes, but that was a while ago.
That was shortly after the Electro announcement, but it's a very packed movie. And I hope they are able to like sort of feature these cool other things, kind of just hint at them, and then remain focused on Tom Holland because it's still his movie, his story. But I also hope this ends with, you know, a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 4 or an Amazing Spider-Man 3. As much as I know people don't like those movies,
No, because we don't want an Amazing Spider-Man 3.
I want Amazing Spider-Man 3 just because I really like Andrew Garfield and I feel like he should get another run at the character.
I mean, that's fine. I just personally think that you're objectively wrong because of how awful Amazing Spider-Man 2 is.
I still think there's some things that you could salvage from it. I know.
Okay, let's. How about we get moving to the movie we're talking about?
Movie. Oh man, we're talking about a movie? Oh yeah, we're talking about a movie. It's a movie podcast after all. So, after the first 15 minutes of this podcast not talking about the movie that you all came here to listen about, we are finally going to talk about this movie. So this movie just so happens to be, I think it's safe to say, a Christmas classic.
Yeah, that's 100% safe to say. It's one of the most iconic Christmas movies of all time.
Just making sure, because I remember I was hanging out with someone over the weekend, and they, like, they got confused at me when they asked me if by the way, the movie is Home Alone from 1990, directed by Christopher Columbus, or I think it's just Chris Columbus, director of the first two Harry Potter movies, fun fact. And it stars Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, and some other great people. That lady from Beetlejuice, she's in here. But someone over the weekend asked me if this movie was considered a Christmas movie. I was like, well, yeah.
And they're like, how would it not be considered a Christmas movie?
Right? And they're like, why? I'm like, because it takes place during Christmas, I guess. It's about family. And they're like, well, what if it takes place during Halloween? I'm like, well, then I guess it's a Halloween movie. I don't know what you're getting at. Anyway, moving on. So, Josh, how familiar are you with this movie?
I'm incredibly familiar with this movie because I love this movie.
Interesting. So, I feel like we've kind of reversed roles here this week from last week. So, last week, I was fairly familiar with our movie. And this it was like your first time seeing it, I believe, last week. The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Now this week, I've just now finally watched this movie in its entirety. And
interesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I've held off on watching this, because my entire life, like, my family loves this movie, but I've just never sat down and watched it. But I finally sat down and watched it with my girlfriend, and I'll give you my opinions here in a little bit. So, Josh, did your family, like, watch this all the time, like, while you were growing up, or
every year? This is a movie that around this time of year I always make sure I watch it.
Oh, okay. Is this possibly your favorite Christmas movie?
I don't know if I would say favorite, but I would say it's definitely in the top three.
Because Die Hard still exists, baby.
And so does Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my top three.
Fun fact about Christmas Vacation. Chris Columbus, the director of this, was actually supposed to direct Christmas Vacation. And he was, you know, working on the movie for a little bit. But the lead actor of that movie, Chevy Chase, was apparently such a jerk and so hard to work with that John Hughes, the guy who made Christmas Vacation and Home Alone, or who wrote them, I was like, hey, listen, just don't bother me. Just come on. I got another thing for you. And so that's how that happened.
Interesting.
But yeah, so my cousins, my mom's side of the family, downright loves this movie. It's one of their favorite Christmas movies. And after watching it, I really, really like this movie. It might be one of my favorite Christmas movies ever. It's really good.
It is. It's got a lot of heart and a lot of charm. And I personally, I could watch the whole movie, but I could also skip and just watch the third act and still be satisfied.
I actually really enjoyed the first act. Believe it or not, the only part I had seen growing up was the first act. And I didn't dislike it or anything. That's just what I was familiar with. And for some reason, I'd never be able to get to the second or third act. It just, after the first act came to a close, I didn't watch the rest of the movie. But Josh, since we're on that positive pace, tell me some things you like about this movie.
Well, right off the bat, I'm going to say the score, but that's because it's John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no argument to be made. There's no further point to be made.
Yeah, no, I was going to
John Williams, and yeah, it is great.
I was going to say the same thing.
Macaulay Culkin's great. Joe Pesci is great. Yep. I don't remember Marv's name, the actor name.
Marv is fine. We can just call him Marv.
But he is great.
I think the Wet Bandits in general are just great.
Yes.
Well, the formerly Wet Bandits, now Sticky Bandits.
I only judge off first Home Alone.
Okay. Hold on. I have to ask him. What are your thoughts on the second Home Alone? Home Alone 2, Escape from New York, or whatever it is.
I had seen it as a child. I remember very little of it, and I have never taken the time to watch it again because I'm perfectly content with my singular Home Alone.
Here's what I'll say. It is, it's charming. And I think, honestly, depending on who you are, you may like the second one more. It's very much like, kind of like the first one, just, you know, kind of like the rules are reversed, I guess, or just it's a little bit different to consider itself a sequel. But it definitely has the mentality of, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And it works in this case, for Home Alone 2, at least. Are you familiar with the concept of it, at least?
Yeah, it's Lost in New York.
Or I said Escape from New York. But Lost in New York. Yeah. It's good. I honestly couldn't tell you which one I enjoy more. But you know, let's just remain on the first one and we'll get through that. So for me, I also kind of like this. I think what makes like the great Christmas movies is just a lot of them just go for simple concepts, and then they just try and know that simple concept, and that's that. That's all it is to the movie. And then the only thing to kind of add on to it is there's just like a little hidden meaning of Christmas in it, and that's all there is to great Christmas movies, in my opinion. And this is involved in that.
Yeah, and another thing I really like about this movie, is just in general, I think that pretty much everything they try to do works really well if you get past the part where a parent. I'm sure in some universe it's possible, but in no universe am I from could I forget my child.
Yeah.
But still, great fun.
Oh, yeah, very much. And I also think there is some, like, really, really cool filmmaking things in this movie, too. Well, I guess I'll save one or two of my examples for spoilers, because right now we're kind of doing non-spoilers, because we want you guys to experience this movie, you know, hands-free without us, and then come back and listen to the rest of us. But, Josh, I have to lay the hammer down. Is there anything you don't like about this movie? Also, wait, really quick before you say anything. I also really like the mom in this movie. Continue, Josh.
I think the mom is fine. Probably my least favorite parts of this movie are the parts that aren't focused on Kevin or the Wet Bandits. Because that's really what I'm there for. So I get the stuff with the mom is just fine.
Yeah.
But that's usually when I like would go get a snack or whatever because, okay, yeah, this is the meeting and it's important, but I want to watch people get hit in the face with a paint can.
Right. Not that we know if that happens in this movie or not, but I understand that. I think for me, though, there is, like, I think they do the mom's stuff smartly because I think they understand that could possibly be the most boring part of the movie. But it's definitely got, like, it is such a John Hughes-style, way of the mom's arc. It's such a John Hughes thing. So much so where they involve other John Hughes actors and actresses, which I love seeing. And I mean, I think that's what, you know, at least kind of brings the movie together, is that, like, you can at least watch this whole thing through and not get extremely bored, I guess.
I'd say so. It's definitely geared to be able to be watched by children.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Kevin McAllister definitely, or Macaulay Culkin, carries this movie insanely well for, you know, a kid actor. I think he is, like, one of the most well-known kid actors, kind of. I can't really name.
It's one of the best examples of
a kid actor that's not Anakin Skywalker.
Well, a kid actor actually being, like,
decent.
Yeah. I'd say more than decent. I'd say that he's just fine in this movie. I'd say he's pretty good.
Also, another fun fact about Home Alone. Would you believe if I told you that this movie was shot in the same school that they shot Breakfast Club and 16 Candles and, like, all other, like, John Hughes high school movies?
I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but I haven't seen most of those movies.
Okay. That's fair. I just think it's crazy because they use this school as, like, the setting for the house, and what they did was they built the sets in the gymnasium of the school, and the school, by the way, was like an abandoned high school that John Hughes just used over and over and over again. And so they built all the interior house sets in the gymnasium. And it's like, and they had all of them like laid out inside the gymnasium. So the entire house was built inside that gymnasium. And then they only used like the house that they found for the exterior shots. So, you know, kudos to, you know, the editing people for making it seem so seamless.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Also, I also really like some of the sort of the side characters that you don't typically think of when you think of Home Alone. I like, oh gosh, what's the old man?
Yeah, you don't have, like, I'm not sure he has an official name other than the old man.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know if he does either. But I enjoy him, and I'm, like, glad what they did with his character. And the one thing that I said I don't like, because I know I asked what we didn't like, was I didn't like the rest of the family. Not, like, in, like, they're acted poorly or anything. I just think from characters' perspectives, I can't stand them. Like, everyone except for the mom. And the only other family member that I like enjoy watching on the screen was what's his name, Buford or whatever,
Buzz.
It was a B. I had the B down. But Buzz is like, I think Buzz is probably like the most entertaining of the family that's not the mom or Kevin. Thoughts on Buzz? Thoughts? Josh?
I'm not sure what else I can say without just spoiling parts of the movie that I like.
Fair point. So, I guess before we jump into spoilers, we will just give this movie a quick ranking, as I think it is duly noted and needed, as we forgot to rank Nightmare Before Christmas before the spoilers last episode. So, Josh, what would you rank Home Alone 1 through 10? Let it go.
I give Home Alone a solid 8.
Josh, I'm right there with you. I'm giving Home Alone a solid 8, too. A solid 8 tarantulas out of 10.
There you go.
So that's going to do it for our non-spoiler section, and we will see you guys in just a few minutes after this beautiful ad read by this beautiful, beautiful boy. And we're back with spoilers on Home Alone on this crazy, crazy Friday here in December. I am joined by Josh again, because why would he leave? And we're just going to talk some spoilers, a little laid back, nothing crazy. So Josh, hit me with any spoilers, anything in specific you want to talk about.
So when they're going through Kevin's traps in the house, They're all great. But a few of the standouts for me, I love watching Marv step on that nail.
Yeah.
I hate it, but I love it.
I think, well, the if I remember, he kind of, like, pokes it, right? He doesn't, like, necessarily just step on it.
He doesn't step full force, but he steps on it enough where it goes into his foot.
Yeah. And then he has that great, like, he falls backward, and he has that scream, and then, does something fall on his head or something? I don't remember.
I don't know if anything does at that point.
I mean, I know he gets in the head. Like, both of these guys, the Wet Bandits, just get beat the heck by this kid.
It's hilarious.
It's incredible. I enjoyed it. Like, I've seen, like, bits and parts of, like, this third act. But, like, watching it all together, it's like, wow. This is, like, well put together. Especially by a kid.
Yeah. It's great fun. That's why I said. It is. Like, it's so much fun. I could just watch that part.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, this is fantastic.
And, okay, so to sort of, like, bounce off of that point, earlier I referenced, you know, some really cool parts that, like, kind of reflect, like, really cool filmmaking. And that thing being is early on in the film, like, very early on, as soon as, like, Kevin wakes up and he realizes that he's the only person in the house and that he thinks he's made his family disappear.
That he's home alone is what he meant to say.
Yes, that he's
when
home
he
alone.
Figured out that he was home alone.
Right. I love that, like, they took the time. Like, most of the scene is basically Kevin walking through the entire house, basically, to see if anyone's home. But it's also sort of like a foreshadow thing, because in this scene, they show you every single thing that he uses in his traps just sort of up to the side or where they are and stuff. And so, like, it's incredible because later on in that third act, or just whenever he's setting up traps and stuff, you're never asking yourself, like, where the heck did this come from or this? Like, we see the Michael Jordan, like, cutout thing in Buzz's room a few times. And then when we see it, like, used as, like, a shadow person when Kevin makes the Wet Bandits think there's a party going on, you're like, oh, yeah, there's the thing. You know, it makes sense why he would use that. And we also see the mannequins being used that we saw in the basement. And obviously there's the furnace thing that he was scared of in the beginning that's also sort of, like, used to, like, develop his character arc, which is cool. Just a lot of really neat, like, little storytelling things that Chris Columbus does, and the I guess the entire, like, team that made the movie. Josh, any it's time for you to share another spoiler if you got one.
The scene where Kevin is talking to the old man in the church,
yes,
is a fantastic scene.
Oh man, yeah, let's talk about the old man and his thing. I'll look it up. And if you want to go ahead and talk about the old man, go for it.
Well, because the rumor around the neighborhood is that he's this creepy old guy. He, like, kills people and puts them in his trash can of salt.
Yeah, I think they said, like, he killed his family or something.
Yeah. And so it's got, like, it's that very little kid sense of he's getting told this story and he's like, oh, crap. This is not good. And then when Kevin actually sits down to talk to the old man and, like, learns about his life and all that kind of stuff, you're just like, man, it's really well done.
I think his name is Marley, is the character's name, if I'm not mistaken.
It's very possible.
But, you know, that is, you know, I'm not confirming that. Yes, I love his character arc very much, or his very small character arc, or, like, what it brings to Kevin's, you know, whole story. Because they very much use that point again, or that kind of type of character for Kevin in the second movie too, but it's with a bird lady.
Yeah, the pigeon lady.
Right. And, you know, it makes, you know, a nice sweet point or plot point in your movie, I guess. And it works very well here. It kind of adds, like, that cherry on top at the end. When Kevin is reunited with his family and you're happy and stuff. And then they kind of realize, oh, he's kind of matured after he said he went grocery shopping and stuff. You're like, wow, this is such a great ending. And then he looks out the window and he sees the old man, or I guess Marley, being reunited with his son, his granddaughter.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Now you've really done it, Kevin. You did it. You're the hero of Christmas or whatever. But, you know, it's just a very nice cherry on top that they were able to add in there.
Oh, for sure.
And I also want to quickly add that I really, really dug the scene where he went to the Mall Santa as he was leaving. And
that's a good one.
Yeah. And, like, at first he's like, I know you're not the real Santa, dude. I know you're just, like, working for him. It's like at the, like, really small, like misdirection, I guess. Like, you think he knows what's how Santa works and stuff, but then he actually doesn't. It's a very kid level thing, and, like, it's like, it's not, like, catered towards kids, I guess, in a way, but it's more like
that's what a kid would do.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, that's great. That's great writing. And I really hope that, like, Macaulay Culkin at the time didn't think that, like, Santa wasn't real or anything, and that movie ruined it for him. But I don't know. I just that's a scene that I think of when I think of this movie. Josh, you got any more scenes to add?
You know, it's another one of these where we could probably sit here and talk about scenes all day.
Right. The movie basically speaks for itself.
It's just an all around solid movie.
Yeah, this like Nightmare Before Christmas, there's a reason why people visit this movie every year, why people admire it, and, like, it's just a staple of, like, most channels on cable every Christmas season.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it makes sense. I mean, for me, watching it like thoroughly for the first time, I enjoyed it incredibly. I'd rank it very high among my Christmas favorites.
See, and I've got a lot of nostalgia for this movie too,
right?
Just because I've grown up watching that every year, so it's just one of those movies that's just kind of always gonna have a special place in my heart.
There you go. And I think that also speaks to like how good this movie is or can be, is that like someone like you who's like grown up with this movie nostalgically, like you still like this movie regardless of nostalgia. As for me, yeah, who like didn't really grow up with this movie, I still like enjoyed it just as much as you did, and I didn't even like have all the like the perks of nostalgia that brings. So
we could talk about this forever, but I mean, we could just like close this book and let you guys take the rest of your day to watch this movie or spend time with people you care about.
Oh, what a sweet message.
Oh, thank you. So Josh, any closing thoughts before I wrap this up like a present?
I think the only other thing that I have to add is trying to think of something good to end off here with, and I'm struggling.
That's all right. How about you just tell us where we can find you or any of your work at, Josh?
You can find us at JD Studios 208 on YouTube, also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's pretty much where I'm at.
All right, and you can obviously find Cinema Gibberish on any platform under the name Cinema Gibberish. And you know, you can expect us here every Friday at 6 a.m. in the morning. And you know, we'll see you guys next week. We're very excited for next week, actually. I am, at least. I don't know how excited you are, Josh, but
I'm excited for half of next week.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Then we will leave you guys to it. And Josh, keep the change, you filthy animal. Bye.